Matthew 7, verses 24 through 26. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet are your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than them? Everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God, Spirit, and Truth. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly very glad that you've come our way, and we welcome you back at each and every opportunity that you have. We have a lot of things going on here at Sandyville, and we're certainly thankful for that. A lot of work behind the scenes and a lot of work that's going to manifest here coming up this week on Friday and Saturday with the marriage workshop. And we're in contact with a lot of different people, and it would probably be best if we had a head count for the congregation. If you plan on attending, if you'll let Shane or myself go, know, that gives us kind of 2 points of contact, just so we can kind of get a head count. We do have a couple couples that I know of that are coming from Fairmont. They're very excited to come to what is being supplied by the congregation here. Service to the community, and so we have a big question mark. And I know that the ladies are meeting before services this evening, and they're going to have a big question that's going to put a lot of pressure on a couple of us men. And that question is going to be, how many people are going to be there? And our answer is, we don't know, but it would be extremely helpful if you could let Shane or myself know if you're going to be coming from the congregation. That way we at least have the congregation head count, and then we will handle that question mark of others as best we can. But certainly we're excited about that. A lot of effort and work has went into that. I know Janice has been working with trying to line up stuff with the senior center, and we've got Mark with technology, and we've got the women trying to prep some things, and a lot of people have supported this effort, and we hope and we pray that it will enrich marriages and make them stronger, and certainly be an outreach to the community in some way. So if you'll please just mention, hey Kyle, I do plan on attending, or I invited this couple and they have told me that they plan on attending. That would help us give a general number to those ladies as they're trying to make preparations for food as best we can. Also exciting that there's a women Bible study going on. They had their first study this past Friday, and I think it went well, and they had, I think, very, very good attendance from what I heard. And that is going to be happening once a month. And if you're interested in that, a lot of those lessons, I think, stand independently of one another. They do build a little bit, but if you want to attend the next one, April 7th, I believe, Melissa, you can get with her, and she can pick you up with a book, and you can certainly participate in that. So many good things going on here at Sandyville, many good works going on, and we're thankful for each and every one. And it's always hard to mention all of those. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, we are making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, we get to this idea of building. And certainly Jesus was great at using parables. And there's so many ideas that really connect in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think one that is overlooked to some degree is that of the idea of having to make a decision in your life. You know, you have to make a lot of decisions in life. But you are going to have to make a decision on where you're going to build. And I think that as we had read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the idea of two masters, I think Jesus is really building on multiple ideas. And I think if you read the Sermon on the Mount and go through, Jesus is really trying to pound one idea home. He's trying to pound many ideas home, but one idea in particular, you're going to have to make a decision. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, you have the idea of two paths. You have the narrow and you have the broad way. We also have two places to build. You can build on the sand or the rock. You have to decide on which master you're going to serve. There's a lot of choices that you present But understand that Jesus wants you to make the right choice. And what we're going to be looking at this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, on the choice of building place. Jesus was great with illustrations. He was great with parables. And certainly we have a simple illustration in Matthew chapter 7. And great teaching is usually simple so that everyone can understand. And we want to make sure that we understand the lesson of the builder in Matthew chapter 7. Where are you building your life? Because it's talking about building locations. Are you building on the rock or are you building on the sand? But really, the parable and the illustration is really talking about lives. Where are you building your life? You know, if you're building a house, you want to build it on solid ground, a good rock, a good foundation. You wouldn't want to build it on the sand. But really, what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about our life. Where are you building your life? Where are you building on? What are the principles and the ideals that you are building your life upon? And as we see in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, there is not another option. See, a lot of people try to do that, don't they? They try to put out other options. You either are building on the rock or you're building on the sand. You can't have a foundation in the middle, and a foundation in the middle really gets you in trouble. There's no 50% foundation. We need a 100% solid foundation. Because you know what's going to happen is storms are going to come in this life. And you see that in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, we see two different building locations, but when you read the passage, they are both hit with storms. You understand that, don't you? That as you go throughout life, you're going to be hit with storms. You're going to be hit with disease. You're going to be hit with disaster. You're going to be hit with discouragement. You're going to be hit with adversity. There are going to be storms that are going to hit your house, that are going to hit your life. But the question is, where are you building your house? Where are you building your life? Where are you building this morning? Because storms are going to come. And they are going to hit the Christian, and they are going to hit the non-Christian as well. But where you build makes all the difference. Where are you building? Will you be ready for the storms of this life? Let's look at the first builder. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, it talks about our first builder. It says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You know, there is basic and foundational information that is given. We see a wise individual. What does a wise individual do? They hear and they obey. They hear and they obey. It says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine, hears the words of God, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. God says a wise individual is the one that hears God's word and does something about it. Hears God's word and does it. That is a wise individual. Are you a wise individual in God's eyes? Are you a wise individual in the eyes of Jesus? Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. A wise man hears God's word and does it. And then we go into the illustration, is that we have this picture of a man, an individual, a builder, who builds his house on the rock. And the storms are going to come, but that house is not going to fall. The first thing that we see is that it says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine, you understand that you've got to hear the words of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Are you hearing the words of God? One thing that I'm afraid of is that in our culture, in our society, in our world, what has happened more and more is that the words of God are heard less and less. And if the words of God are heard less and less, what that means is our foundation isn't as firm as it used to be. Whenever we hear the words of God less and less, how can we have a quality foundation if the words of God are taken out of school, taken out of our home, taken out of our community? How are we going to have that firm foundation? We have some work to do. We have some hard work to do because it used to be the Bible was a staple in many places in our society. The Bible used to be in our schools. If you go back to the founding of our nation and you look at our founding fathers, almost all of them believed that the Bible should be in school. And they pushed for it and they advocated for it. And you know what? That used to be a piece of American pride, a citizen of the United States. You had the Bible in school. Well, the Bible's not there anymore. The Bible used to be here. The Bible used to be here. And really, the Bible's been stripped from so many places. And then we wonder when we look around why so many things are so shaky. Why are families so shaky? Why is our government so shaky? Why are so many things in the world? Because we're building on the sand. Because we have not listened to those words of God. We've taken those words of God and we've hidden them someplace. And we cannot be wise and we cannot build the way that God wants us to build without those words. In James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. In James chapter 1, it says, it gives us the observation that the word of God can save our soul. That's where the gospel message is. That's where we can read about what we need to do to become a New Testament Christian and have our sins forgiven. It gives us that idea, but it says you better be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Which is really, once we get to it, we're going to see the individual that builds his house upon the sand. In order for us to build right, in order for us to build where God wants us to build, where Jesus wants us to build, we have to open up our Bibles and hear the Word of God. And we can't only hear the Word of God, we have to do it. And James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 is definitely making that point. Hearing and doing. Are you building your life? Are you building your family? Are you trying to build your community with the Word of God? Because that is the rock, that is the foundation, and without that rock, we are on sand. And I think we can see it all around us. The parable and the illustration used is a house, but it's talking about your life. What are you building your life upon? Are you building on the rock, the Word of God, Jesus Christ? In our society, a lot of times the words of God are now perceived as a strange thing, as it says in Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. They say, oh, the Bible, that's a strange thing. They're building on the sand. There's a lot of people in our society that are calling good evil and evil good, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. They're not building on the Word of God. Where are you building? You know, throughout the New Testament, Jesus makes an accusation many times against the religious people of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what he says? Have you not read? The first step of building where God wants us to build is hearing the words of God. And that's exactly how it starts in Matthew chapter 7. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. But that's not where it ends. It says, those who hear these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man. Are you wise? Where are you building? Are your actions built on the words of God? Is your family built on the words of God? Is your conduct built on the words of God? Is your worship built on the words of God? Or are we throwing the words of God away? In John chapter 4, when we talk about worship, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Is your worship built on the Word of God? It says if we're going to worship God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says that there are going to be true worshipers. And if there's going to be true worshipers, that must mean there's going to be false worshipers. If you're going to worship God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what's true? Well, John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Is our worship has to be based off of the Word of God. Our families need to be based off of the Word of God. Our conduct needs to be based off the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we cannot build the way that God wants us to build. We say, Kyle, this sounds a little bit difficult. I'm not saying it's not a challenge, but that is, if we want to build right, if we want to build the way that God wants us to build, we need to make sure that we are getting a thus saith the Lord for those things which we are doing. Now in Luke chapter 6, we have the parallel of this same illustration that's being used. And it reads just a little bit different. I mean, it's the same idea, but I think actually Luke chapter 6, verses 46 and following, it really emphasizes that where you're building is based off your obedience. See, the one that's building on the rock hears God's word and does it. And we're going to see the person that's building on the sand hears God's word, but they don't do it. They say, you know what? I want to do it my own way. I'm going to build where I want to build. I want to live the life that I want to live. I want to have my family the way that I want to have my family. But God, I'm going to put God over the side. I don't want to do it that way. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 48, it's just a parallel of Matthew chapter 7. But it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Now, I like Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. I use that one a lot. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say?" And he goes right into the builder. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? Why do you say that you're building on Jesus Christ, but my word is nowhere around? Why do you say that you're building the way that I want you to build, but you're not worshiping the way that the Bible says? You're not conducting yourself the way that the Bible says. You're not serving the way that the Bible says. You're not doing what I said. And he goes right into the parable, the illustration of the builder. But when you look at the builder, in this case, it gives us just a little bit more detail. It talks about this builder. It says, "I will show you who he is like, the one who hears and does. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Now, when we lay foundation for a home, we typically dig deep. And a lot of times we lay that cement. And you know, if you went to some big cities, those skyscrapers, you know how deep their foundations are? You know how deep they've had to dig sometimes so they could find rock? If you're going to build, you need to build on a rock. You need to build on a solid foundation. And in Luke chapter 6, it says the wise man dig deep. Are you digging deep to build your spiritual house? You know, that idea of digging deep, I don't know. I don't know about you. Every hole I've dug has been a little bit of hard work. I don't know a hole that wasn't hard work. My father-in-law convinced me to dig the hole to my power line. And I think I've got about cement as ground around my house. He said, "Oh, it's not that far. Let's just dig the trench. It won't be that bad. We don't need to rent a machine. Let's just do it by hand." That was hard work. It's hard work to dig deep, and I wasn't even going that deep. I hit what I needed to hit, but I wasn't digging that deep. The wise man has to dig deep. The one that wants to build their life on Jesus Christ and his word is going to have to dig deep. We're going to have to dig deep into God's Word. And I think the Bible tells us that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to be diligent. If you want to build on the law, if you want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, if you want to build your life right, your family's life right, you're going to have to dig deep. I'm not saying it's easy. You're going to have to dig deep. And that's what it says in Luke chapter 6. The wise man had to dig deep to lay that foundation. Well, what do we need to dig deep into? God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." The Word of God has all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to build a good life? You want to have a solid foundation that doesn't change? Build it on God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." We have everything we need right here to build the house that God wants us to build the life that God wants us to build. And we need a good foundation because the storms of life are going to come. Disease is going to hit you, it's going to hit your family. Disaster is going to hit you, it's going to hit your family. Discouragement is going to hit you, it's going to hit your family. It's going to happen, it's part of life. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, "Man's days are few and full of trouble." Man's days are few and full of trouble. You don't think you're going to face some storms? The best way to face storms in this life is with a solid foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Last time I checked, we really haven't found a way to stop storms. We can tell you they're coming. That hurricane's coming. They can tell you it's coming, but they don't have much of a solution for the hurricane. And I know that there's been building advancements and things like that, but you know what they tell you when a hurricane's coming? You better get out of town. You know that there is going to be some storms that are going to come at your life. And some of them, I think we can prevent some storms in our life if we live off the Word of God, but there's some storms that are going to hit you no matter what you do. Whether you're building on the rock or you're building on the sand, there's some storms that are going to hit you. And you need to be ready. You need to make sure that you and your family are building on the words of God. Storms don't discriminate. They don't discriminate. Especially those big storms of life. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know that Christians have rainy days? You know that non-Christians have rainy days? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the rain can be perceived as a blessing, but sometimes we just have rainy days. Are you ready? Are you building the way that you should for the storms that are going to come? We see that the wise man heard what God said. Of course, that's the implication, but the wise man heard and did. And was safe in the time of storm and stood against the time of storm. The house stood. You know, our lives can stand against many storms in this life if we build our lives right. And I think we can see that from New Testament Christians. When we look through the book of Acts and we see the persecution that they endured, the things that they went through. You know, Paul, he rattles off the big list and he says, I've been shipwrecked. And he says, I've been naked. I've been asking for food. He goes through a big, long list. And you know what? He was ready to go through that storm because he had the foundation of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless we're involved in God in our lives, we're going to fail. And the fall will be great. Are you involved in God in your building of your life? Or is God taking a back seat? You just take God's advice on your foundation when you feel like it. When you like what God says. You know, when I was building my house, sometimes people say, well, this is how I would do it. I say, well, that's not how I'm doing it. But sometimes we might have that attitude with God. We might have that attitude with God. God says, this is how you can build a good life, a solid life, a good, solid foundation. This is how you do it. And we say, man, God, I'm going to do it my own way. And then we wonder when the storms come, while people get uprooted by the storm. You want a solid foundation? Come to Jesus Christ. God's Word does not change. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You want a solid foundation? Come to Jesus Christ. He will offer you a solid foundation which you can build upon. And you don't have to be tossed to and fro by everything that we see in the world. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 it says, and we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunningness, craftiness of deceitful plotting. We don't have to be like children, tossed over here every time something's said. We can say, you know what, this is what the Bible says on this, and I'm going to stand on that. I know we all have opinions. This is one of mine. But in my opinion, being careful here, but in my opinion, our news has just got ridiculous. In terms of lies, in terms of things that are said, they'll tell you something today and then they'll change it tomorrow. And they don't even think it's a big deal. They said this today and they change it tomorrow. Oh, not a big deal. Don't worry about us. I tell you what doesn't change. Jesus Christ. His foundation will not change. Today they're going to tell you this. Tomorrow they're going to tell you this. You know, the world's going to do that to you. They're going to say, oh, you need to go over here. You need to go over here. Why don't you just stand on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and you will be unmovable. People try to do that in religion too. They say, oh, come look at this, come look at this, come look at this. While we stand on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we will not be moved. He's given us the foundation to build our life upon. Jesus is the foundation. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, with the conversation with Peter, talking about Peter just confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God, on this rock I will build my church. Paul believed that Jesus was the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul believed that Jesus Christ was the rock, was the solid foundation that we are to build our lives upon. Are you building your life on Jesus Christ? Are you building your life on what Jesus said? Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Are you basing your life off Jesus Christ, His word? Some sobering words in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49. John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, Jesus speaking, He says, "He who rejects me and receives not my word has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Those are sobering words. "He who rejects me and receives not my words has that which judges him." Your foundation is going to be judged one of these days. Your foundation is going to be tested one of these days. Is it built on Jesus Christ? Where are you going to build? Have you thought about it? Have you counted the cost? In Luke chapter 14, it tells us to count the cost. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it? All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" You know, you better check where you're building. You better consider where you're building. Because to build the way that Jesus wants you to build is a long haul. But I can tell you this, and I can guarantee you this, that the foundation of Jesus Christ will hold through the storms of life. And it will hold us through eternity. So you're going to have to dig deep. That's what it says in Luke chapter 6. You're going to have to dig deep. In Matthew chapter 7, we have the parable and illustration of the two builders. And then we go over to Luke chapter 6, which we've already looked at this morning. But it tells us there that the wise man had to dig deep to lay that foundation. And I believe we're going to have to dig deep as well. Let's move on to the man that's building on the sand. It says in verses 26 and 27, it says, "But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Are you building on the sand? There's a lot of individuals, unfortunately, in our world that are building on the sand. What's the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? The wise and the unwise. Do both of them hear the words of God? Yes. It says that both of them hear. It says that the wise man does and the unwise does not. That's really the key difference there. And really, when you think about it, it's not a surprise to me in Luke chapter 6 when we have verse 46 there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And it says there, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" When you're thinking about the life that you're building, who are you listening to? Are you listening to self or are you listening to God? The difference is one is a listener and one is not a listener. One is going to obey the words of God, one is not going to obey the words of God. And the Bible describes this. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." There's a lot of people who think that they're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that say they're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but are they actually doing what God has said? And there's only one way for us to know that is if we open up our Bible and see what God has to say about a particular issue. What does God say about worship? What does He say about my conduct? What does God say about my marriage? What does God say about me as an employee? What does God say about me being a boss? What does God have to say? Because there's a lot of people going down the broad road and it leads to destruction. What does He say about the narrow road? The narrow road in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life." You're going to have to dig deep. If you're building on the sand, what you're doing is you're skipping steps. The person who builds on the sand doesn't dig deep. They're not digging deep. Are you digging deep? not built on the rock, but built on the sand. The sinking sands of sin, the sinking sands of society, the sinking sands of selfishness, the sinking sands of changing doctrine and shifting doctrine. We're going to have to dig deep. It's going to be difficult. But when you read Matthew chapter 7, when you read about the storms that are going to come, I can't find any difference between the storms that hit the house that's built on the rock and the house that's built on the sand. I can't find any difference between the two. Now, you can read it over a few times and tell me if you find a difference between the two. But I don't find any difference in the storm. It says the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew. You go down to the other house, it says about the same thing. It says the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew. The same storm hit the house. You know that cancer can hit a Christian, and it can hit a non-Christian, but yet a Christian can handle it totally different than someone in the world. You know, discouragement can hit somebody in the world, and it can hit somebody in life, and you know what? A Christian can handle it totally different. You know why? Because they have Jesus Christ, and they're standing on that firm foundation. The same storms are coming for a lot of them. Disease, death, discouragement, a lot of these, we're all going to face. The question is where's your foundation? Where are you building? Where are you building your life? We need a good foundation. In Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower. And we have all these seeds that go out, and we start to have these plants that are growing, and it talks about some of the plants in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And it says, but he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There's a seed that falls on the stony places. It sprouts up, but it has no root. It has no foundation. And when the storms come of persecution and trials and tribulations, it just uproots that Christian. Is your foundation strong? Is the foundation of your kids strong? Is the foundation of your grandkids strong? Is it strong? Because storms are going to come. I don't think the Bible shies away from that point. You look at the builders. What's going to come? A storm's going to come. You look at the parable of the sowers. Things are going to come after those seeds. Things are going to come after those plants. The thorns are going to come up the world and choke out those plants in Matthew chapter 13. We need to have a strong foundation. If you're building on the sand, you're really building on things of the world. And that's really a sad thing to build on because those things are passing away. See, a lot of times people think money gives you security. I can tell you what gives you security is the Word of God. How well did money treat people in Germany and Europe during the World Wars when currency didn't mean anything and they were using it as firewood? You think money gives you security? You think your house gives you security? A hurricane can wipe that off the map. Now, West Virginia, we're pretty safe. That's what's nice about living here. We got the mountains. We got a lot of things. A lot of natural disasters we're protected from. But you think about that. Where's your security? Our security is Jesus Christ. The firm foundation that will be able to see us through any storm. But in 1 John chapter 10, verse 17, it says, the world is passing away and the lust of it. Don't build your life on things of the world. There's a lot of people out there that are convinced they're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but they're actually building on the sand. In Luke chapter 6, and verse 49, let me check on that. Luke chapter 6, and verse 49, talking about the man who is foolish and building on the sand, it says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. So Luke chapter 6 is just a parallel of Matthew chapter 7, but there it talks about the foolish or the unwise, and it says this one, who heard and did nothing. The builders, it's all about obedience. Do you hear what God says and you do it, or do you hear what God says and you don't do it? It's really very simple. It's laid out there very nicely by our Lord. There's a lot of people out there that are not doing what Jesus says. Right before Matthew chapter 7, talking about the builders, it says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. And then Matthew chapter 7 goes right into the builders. The building illustration and parable is all about obedience. The wise man hears and does what God says. The unwise man hears what God says and says, I'm not going to do it. And there's a lot of individuals in our world that are caught in that trap. Oh, Kyle, I'm building on Jesus Christ. Well, I don't see any sweat. What do you mean sweat? It says that the wise builder had to dig deep. It said the wise builder had to dig deep to build that foundation. Oh, Kyle, I'm building for Christ. Are you digging deep? Oh, Kyle, I'm building for Christ. I know God, Kyle. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There's something to this obedience thing in Christianity. We're not going to be perfect, but certainly God has an expectation that we will do what He says to the best of our ability. Are you trying to do what God says? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I have some questions for you. Where are you building? Have you made a decision? Joshua made a decision. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made a decision to serve the Lord? Where are you going to build? Are you going to take the easy way or are you going to take the hard way? Because to build the foundation God wants you to build, you're going to have to dig deep. It's time to build on the rock, that solid foundation of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 62 and verse 6, it says this, truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, I will not be shaken. Jesus can be that firm foundation for anyone who hears and does. Hears and does. Hear the word and do it. Certainly, where are you building this morning? You could become a New Testament Christian this morning. You see Jesus sends out His followers and tells them to go into all the world, preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Certainly, we see a pattern in the New Testament. If you would like to follow that pattern, we'd love to help you. If you need the prayers of the church, we would love to help you as well. If you're subject to invitation in any way this morning, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.